Hello, dear friends, and welcome again to Sermon and Song. It's a joy to come to you with God's precious Word. What a blessing it is that we have the Word of God that we can use to proclaim the message of truth. We don't have to be concerned that we're preaching some sort of a man's doctrine when we are preaching, "Thus saith the Lord," and letting it just fall right where it falls. Oh, I know it's possible to twist and to turn and to mutilate the Word of God, and in the pretense of preaching the Word, to wrongly preach it and preach false doctrine. But we do our best to just take it as God gives it to us, and we certainly thank the Lord for that privilege and that opportunity. And we're glad to have you aboard on Sermon and Song. Tell somebody else about the program, and stay tuned for all of the message today. Today I would like for you to look with me at a very familiar passage of Scripture in the New Testament, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Many of these verses we are able to quote because we have read them and we've heard them preached from down through the years. And I do not wish to say, I have nothing to say that has not already been said about these verses, I'm sure. I have no new revelations from God nor new interpretations on these verses, but I do find in my Christian life that I need to go back here to these verses, go back to the thoughts that we have here to bring comfort and strength to my heart. And I do hope that that's what will happen to you today as you listen to God's Word. First of all, let's read these first six verses in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, here are some of the most comforting words that we'll find in the Bible. First of all, let's notice the peace that is spoken here in these words. And in a time of troubled souls, in a time of troubled hearts, and all we do have that, don't we? You know, we're living in a society of people that are very, very unstable. There are more mixed up people than there have ever been. There are more people today who are confused, who have problems that are greater, seemingly, than the answers to their problems. There are more people who are nervous. There are more people who are on drugs today. I mean, legitimately on drugs from their physicians because of the turmoil and the strife and the trouble that there is in the land. Even here in America, in the midst of all of the prosperity that we have, there are men who are troubled greatly. There are people whose minds are so troubled until they are constantly having to pop pills, so to speak, to keep themselves calmed down and to keep active in this modern day world. There are many people who are disturbed, marriages seemingly on the rocks, young people committing suicide. I don't want to go into all of that because I hear so much of it. And it doesn't do a great deal of good to just sit here on the radio and tell you how bad things are. That doesn't help any. In fact, many times I get disturbed and do not want to look or to hear or read the news. The news today seems to be so bad in so many different areas, and it's so hard to find some good news. How refreshing it was just recently when the little babe down in Texas fell in the well. And the community and the businessmen and all of the rescue workers and all of the neighbors and everybody just threw down everything they were doing and went to the help and to the aid of bringing that little child out. And how the nation, I suppose even throughout the world, there was rejoicing when finally after some 56 hours, the little babe was brought out, still alive from that ordeal. Now, that was good news. It was sad news that the baby had fallen, but it was such good news how people rallied and how people worked and sacrificed, and hundreds of dollars, I'm sure, has come in to help pay the medical bills. Now, there's a bright place in the news, but there are not many of those. Most of the news that we hear is sad, and the stock market falling, and war and breaking out here and there, and death here and there. Well, rather than just play on those things and talk about them, I don't think I need to. You know them. What I want to talk about is the peace that the Lord can give His children in the midst of all of this. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, that means that a Christian's heart can be troubled. He was talking to his disciples. That means that a disciple's heart can be troubled. Whenever you find some of these folks, particularly the charismatics, who tell you that you should never have any problems at all, you should never have any discouragement, you should never have any worry or concern at all in your life, that you ought to be completely free from that. Well, in essence, that's true. We ought to have our trust in the Lord. But all of God's disciples somewhere along the line have trouble and have sorrow and have disappointment. Now, we need to recognize that. And instead of having somebody to browbeat us about it, having somebody to say, well, it's because of your sin that you've got trouble, we ought to realize that even the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ had troubled hearts. Now, they were troubled about the statements that He was making about leaving them. And I know that their contact with Him had been so precious until they did not want to see Him leave. But which of us have not lost a dear friend, a dear loved one, mother or dad, or brother or sister? And we too can have troubled hearts. But we also can have the peace that God spoke to His disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. Now, what brings about this peace? What is the very next thing He said after He said, let not your heart be troubled? It was believe in God, or believe also in Me. Now, you do believe in God. You recognize God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and recognize that He is able to do what needs to be done. And so our troubled hearts can be blessed and can be helped in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's where we need to go for our comfort. Now, we get our comfort not just to praying to the Lord. That's certainly good to do. We get our comfort not just being religious. Many folks will go along without paying God any attention at all. And then whenever tragedy comes, an earthquake or a tornado or a death in the family or a terrible automobile accident, then all of a sudden they'll get religious. And all they talk about the peace that they have. Well, it's a false peace. Because our peace really comes not from the act of religion. Our peace doesn't come from the carrying out of the rituals of religion. It comes from the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you do not have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ unless you've been born again. These were born again men. I find people telling unsaved people, go to church when they're troubled. Just go to church, or go to mass, or go to some religious practitioner somewhere, to a Christian Science practitioner, or go to somebody that can give you a little bit of spiritual help and advice, and you'll feel better. Well, that might be true. You might go and feel better. But the real peace that comes to your heart is when you know Jesus Christ, the person. He said, you believe in God, then now also believe in Me. Just believe in Me and trust My word and accept what I say about it. And that's where you can find your peace, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find the peace that is ours. It doesn't come by going to psychologist. It doesn't come by going to psychiatrist. It doesn't come by some sort of a religious program or ritual. It comes through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be magnified and glorified in our lives. We can look at his crucifixion, and we should never then feel bad about the sufferings that we have to undergo. We can look at his love and be arrested in our failure to love as we ought to love. And on we could go. Now let's go on to verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now you're troubled. I'm going to leave you. You're disturbed about it. Here you followed me for 3 years, and you've not had a place most of the time to lay your head, even as I haven't. You have sacrificed. You've left your homes. You've left your families, and you've only seen them occasionally. You've traveled and walked and helped take care of the crowds, and you've scrounged for the food in the fields and shopping in the markets, trying to find enough food for the disciples. You've gone out two by two, witnessing and laboring and working and being rejected and laughed at and mocked and scoffed. Now he said, just remember, there is a place, there is a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. Here is a place that you're going to. Here is a place that is prepared for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, it's rough down here sometimes. You've had it rough, and you followed me when the path got rugged and rough, and you've made sacrifices, but it won't last forever. There are mansions where I'm going. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. I think there are two major thoughts there. I think there is the literal mansion in heaven. Do not try to take that away from me. Do not take any kind of an approach to this scripture that would take away from me the thought that I'm going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ in total peace and complete contentment and with every one of my needs met. Now, that would be a mansion. I'm not concerned about high studded walls. That's all wonderful in heaven. We'll have that. I'm not concerned about spacious rooms and all of the gold and silver inlay in the walls and in the doors and all of this kind of thing. Now, I believe we'll have a place in heaven to live, but that's not my concern. My concern is that I have absolute peace. I have absolute my needs supplied totally and completely, that I have nothing whatsoever that will worry or concern me, and I have total, constant, every moment, and eternity cannot be broken up into moments, but we have to express it some way, every moment in the presence of my wonderful Savior. Now, to me, that's a mansion. And I believe they're literal. I believe there will be mansions in heaven. And I also believe that this statement says, I go to prepare a place for you. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, and he opened the way for us to go. He prepared that place so we could enter in. Now, it was not so before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not so. Man could not stand in the presence of God before the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and opened the way and made the way and made the place for us around the throne of God. So we've got mansions there. And I say, why mention them if they have nothing to do with the disciples? If these mansions don't have anything to do with those that he was talking to, and if he's using these mansions in heaven, just simply saying they're there, and they don't have anything to do with the disciples, then you would think he would be trying to fool them a little bit. No, I believe these mansions have to do with the disciples. I believe they'll live with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe we'll have mansions in heaven. You say, preacher, you're old-fashioned, and you're still sticking to the old King James Bible where it says mansions when other translations say something else. Well, don't bother me with that. Just let me believe what I see here in the Scriptures. I've got a mansion on the other side. Now, I don't necessarily want that. I don't necessarily need that as long as I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever place he has provided for me there, I know is going to be a mansion. It's going to be everything that we could possibly imagine that it would be for our comfort and our peace and our joy and our satisfaction in the presence of God. And then, of course, he's preparing a place for us. We could not go into the presence of God before his death, but now that he has died on the cross, now that he has shed his precious blood, then we can go into the presence of God clothed in His righteousness. Not clothed in our own righteousness, we have none, but clothed in His righteousness, we can go into that place. Now, he says, we have a position there. We have a place, mansions, then we have a position. We are children of God, and we are positioned in the kingdom of God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then he says that where I am, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we will be positioned with the Lord Jesus Christ as a joint heir in heaven forever. Now look at verse 3 again. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and now that word if certainly doesn't mean there's any question about it, because he's already said, I go to prepare. Then he says, and if I go, or since I am going to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So now his going took place, and he said, if I go, then I will come. So his coming is going to take place. What a tremendous promise. It's a promise that's made by the Lord Jesus Christ and one that will be kept by him. I will come again. And what's going to happen? Then we'll be in his presence. Where I am, there ye may be also. That's sufficient for me. I believe there are mansions there. I believe certainly there are crowns to be won. I believe there's a street of gold in the four-square city of God. I believe the place of the Lamb's wife is a place of majesty and beauty and immenseness. I believe that. But where Jesus is, we should be happy, and I believe we will be happy in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we get there? In verse 6, and he said unto him, I am the way and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the way we get there, through Christ. Now, if we have trusted him, he is the way, the truth, and the life. So if we've trusted Jesus, we have the way. We have the truth, so we know we're not on a tangent. We're not on a religious kick. We've not been brainwashed into religion. We have Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and he is life. And we have life in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and we'll live that life in his presence forever. Now that order ought to encourage our hearts. Let not your hearts be troubled. We have no reason really to remain troubled today. Our old flesh will cause us to get troubled. The devil will work on us, and the imps of hell will work on us to cause us to get trouble, but we don't have to stay that way. We have the promise of the Lord that he's coming again to take us home to be with him.